He is good, isn't he? Yeah, that song is scriptural. His goodness is running after me. That's from Psalm 23. Surely, his goodness and mercy, right? And so, tonight, the Lord would like to help us. He's going to share some specific things with us concerning gossiping and complaining, because he wants our faith to work. And have you ever had a clog in your drain at your house? And, you know, it's frustrating, isn't it? You know, the things that you want to work don't work. And so you want the water to go down, or the soap or whatever's in your sink to go down, but it doesn't, right? It's stuck. And how many of you know then that that sink then is unusable to you? And when it's unusable to you, it becomes frustrating and inconvenient. And God wants our faith to work for us. So tonight, he's going to help us to clean out that clog, so to speak, right? Because we're all guilty at some point of gossiping or complaining about something. But he's going to show us some things in the Word tonight about an attitude and a heart that we can have. Why don't you go with me, if you will? We'll open over here in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And so he wants to share with us some things tonight concerning gossiping and complaining. And we're going to open in James chapter 1, and I'm sure many of you know what this verse says without me even having to tell you, verse 19, James 1:19. And we're going to see the importance of the words that come out of our mouth, and that we aren't complaining, and that we aren't gossiping, because it's real easy to do, right? Because let's face it, people do people things, you know, so there's always going to be flesh and then other people to tempt you to walk in that flesh, right? And James 1:19, so here it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." But many times we kind of reverse that, right? We're quick to say something and slow to hear or to listen. And tonight he wants us to know this, some things concerning gossip. Now I'm just going to share a couple things initially with you about gossip, just to clarify. First, gossip means this, sharing things about a person or situation that are not yours to share. It doesn't even have to be negative. It's just that it's not your business to share it, right? Sharing info or information that might hurt or destroy a relationship. Also, ask yourself this when you're about to share something. Is what I'm going to say going to hurt this person's reputation, right? Does it make them look bad in any way? Does it put them down? Does it point to a flaw of theirs? Because we all have them, right? We all have weaknesses and things that we don't do exactly right, and we're well acquainted with those things. And if we're smart, we try and fortify in that area to minimize that weakness, but no one's perfect. And we need to be the bigger person that when we see someone else's weakness, we see someone else's flaw, what do? We just simply overlook it, right? Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, if you meditate in verses 4 through 7, I highly recommend meditating in those verses on a regular basis in the Amplified Version. It will cure you of much of what you want to say, right? And it holds us to a higher standard. And, you know, in those verses, it doesn't just tell us what not to say or what to say. It tells us even what we think matters. That we believe the best of a person. We think no evil of someone. Also this, if you have to lower your voice or look around to see who might be watching before you share the information, it may be gossip, right? And also ask yourself this, would I say this if this person were here while I was saying this? That's another good litmus test of, should I share this, right? And so if we sort of look at those criteria, it eliminates a lot of what we can say, you know? And over here in Ephesians 4:29, I'm going to share a few verses with you out of Ephesians 4:29. And here is sort of the qualifying mark of what we can share and not share. Ephesians 4:29. And it says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearer." So if the person, or maybe it's not even the person that you're talking about that would hear you, but another person, would it minister goodness and grace to them? Would it be lovely and peaceable? Would it edify? Would it build up? Because our words have power. And so what we say matters. But did you know it doesn't just matter for the one you're saying it about? It matters for you, right? And so it actually works against us when we gossip. I'm going to show you an example of this over in Numbers chapter 12. And this is an account that you're very familiar with over in Numbers chapter 12. And starting in verse 1, Numbers 12:1. Because God wants us to have a clean heart so that our faith can work. He wants our faith to work. And I know everyone in here is believing for something, right? Maybe it's health in your body. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's finances, something for marriage. You know, maybe something concerning your job. But everyone in here is believing for something. And he wants that something to come to pass in your life. And so tonight we're going to see what we can do to help our faith to work more. And Numbers chapter 12 is an account in the Old Testament. Do you remember when Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses? And we're going to see what God thought about it, what he did about it, and then Moses' response to it. And so over here, we're going to read the whole account. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married." Now, hey, it's not like he's embezzling money or he beat somebody up or he shot somebody or, you know, actually did something that might be worthy of being talked about, although none of it is, but all he did was marry somebody they didn't like. That's it. All he did was marry somebody they didn't approve of. Isn't it amazing how fickle we can be about things and judgmental? And remember what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, the first two verses, "Judge not that you be not judged." And so, you know, that the measure that you meet to them will be met back to you, right? That we should be careful about what we think about and talk about other people's lives, their business, what they do or they don't do. And that we're like David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Because when we're talking about other people's lives, we have to be clean about those things, right? Listen, people are going to do hurtful things. People are going to do dishonest things. People are going to do deceitful things. But that's between them and God. We wash our hands of that. We don't allow that. You know, the Bible says, "A man in whom there is no guile," and that a root of bitterness can grow up in you. How does that happen? Because you get overly involved in how somebody treated you or didn't treat you, what somebody did or didn't do. Or maybe it's not even about you, it's about somebody else, and you still get all worked up about it. You know, if we're worked up about a situation, what somebody's doing or not doing, what they're saying or not saying, you know, our heart may not be right concerning it, because that's God's business. And you don't ever want to interfere in that. If they need straightening out, let vengeance be with him, not with me. I'm not the judge and the jury. He is. And can I tell you something? He's way more merciful than you. And he's way more merciful than me. Because we want to make everything right, you know, and make it right now. Make them act right and speak right and think right and do right. But God gives people a space and a time. A space and a time to get it right. And let me tell you, his amount of time is not yours, because we want it right now. And he lives in eternity. So to him, a year is nothing. And, you know, your mind will say, "Well, they look like they're getting away with it." If you're thinking that, you're thinking wrong, because you're thinking in line of being a judge. And he is the judge. They will stand or fall before Him. And honestly, if we're spiritual, what we want to do is prop them up, bring them up, help them along so that they avoid judgment, right? Because it's a serious thing when people do some things to the body of Christ. You know, it matters what you do to the body. 1 Corinthians, just hold your place right here in Numbers chapter 12 and go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Did you know it matters how you treat the body? Not your physical body, although that matters too, but we're talking about the spiritual body. What is the spiritual body? The body of Christ. All of us, and then every other believer who's worldwide, is the body of Christ. But we get a little confused sometimes, and we think we're the head. But you're not the head. All we do is follow what the head says, but we want to be in charge. We want to make something work out how we think. We want to make something come to pass. We want to make somebody pay. You know, we want to make somebody do right. No, listen, all of that we leave to the head. That's his job. Our job is to be the body. And so 1 Corinthians 11, go to verse 27, says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Just keep going. I'll read along with you. "Let a man examine his neighbor. Let a man examine his spouse. Let a man examine his brother, his sister, his mother, his coworker." I'm sorry, but we have misread this verse. Or maybe we just saw it how we wanted, because the Bible said, examine yourself. That's the only one you're authorized and capable of examining. And so he will examine all of us and judge us. And then it says this, "And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily," if you mistreat the body, you mistreat the body, you're doing it unworthily. "You eat and drink damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause," because we don't act right in the body of Christ, because we're examining others and not ourselves, we're pronouncing judgment on others and mistreating them for the way that they are, what we don't agree with, "we are weak, sickly, and die premature." Whoa. That's pretty serious, right? And can I tell you something too? Thankfully, the Lord gave us the easy part, and it's just overlooking it. I'm not their judge. I'm not their jury. I don't examine them. I don't set them straight. I don't pronounce judgment. That's his job. That's the job of the head. The body, do you know what the body does? Just whatever the head tells it. Or should, right? Do what the head tells it. And so go back over here to Numbers chapter 12. We are not to meddle in another person's walk with God. Ooh, that's a dangerous thing. And did you know you can bring judgment upon yourself doing that? Well, you're looking at their faults and judging them, it brings judgment on you. And so it's a really serious thing, because Jesus is going to take care of all that. And he's so much more loving and merciful and patient and kind than we are. And he gives people way more time than we do. And he puts up with way more than we do. And so, not because he's not smart or he's got too much going on, he's just so good. He's so good. The Bible said his mercy endures forever. Right? And so, over here in Numbers chapter 12, here Miriam and Aaron, they have a problem with who Moses married. And so Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. I guess she's Ethiopian. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Oh, very, very interesting. And hath he not spoken by us also? And the Lord heard it. Now, they weren't in prayer. They weren't in church. They weren't meeting with their pastor. This is a personal conversation between two people. And the Lord heard it. He knows. You may think you're having a private conversation. The Lord is there. You know how we say, when two or three are gathered together in his name? Well, when two or three believers are there, he's still there. He hears what we say to each other when no one else is there, behind closed doors. And the Lord had a problem with their personal conversation. He took it personal. Why? Because they're doing damage to his body. He takes it personal. And now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Just keep going with me. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. He said, come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. So listen, Moses doesn't even know this is happening. And what happens? The Lord addresses it. And that's where we need to leave it. That people might be, maybe you do know people are talking about you. Maybe you do know someone's working evil against you. God will deal with it. He's going to do something about it. And he knows exactly what needs to be done. But he also knows how to visit people to intervene so judgment isn't brought. Because people want judgment, but God wants mercy. And he will be as merciful as he possibly can for as long as he possibly can until they've taken it too far and maybe they're going to hurt other people's lives or bring too many people down with them. Then he will intervene and judgment will be brought when they're doing too much damage to the body. But it's not our job. It's not our job to be involved in that. And I heard Reverend Patsy Caminiti say this one time, and it was in relation to something else. But she was talking about, you know, does anybody have an older sibling? And, you know, if you had an older sibling, the older sibling, one, controlled all the flow of information to the younger siblings, right? They were the ones who shared everything with the younger ones. But also, what did they do? Tried to boss the younger sister and brother, right? And they might have got away with it sometimes, but then what did you say to them? You're not the parent. I'm the parent, right? And that's what God's saying to us. You're not the parent. He is the father. He will take care of it, right? And we don't need two moms. We don't need two dads. I got a dad. He'll tell me what to do. I don't need an older brother or sister telling me what to do, right? And the same thing. God does not need you helping him in the body of Christ tell people what to do. He will tell them what to do. And he knows how to intervene in ways you don't. He can send an angel to someone. He can give them a dream, a vision, the audible voice, somehow intervene in their life to stop them on the road they're on. But you can't stop them. Not by might, not by power. By him. That's how it's intervened. That's how it's all worked out. But people want to get in there and fix it themselves, that's not what he wants. And remember in 1 Corinthians 11, that doesn't please him. You're messing with the body. So we'll keep going. How about verse 5? And the Lord came down. Now, I want the Lord to come down, but not like he came down here. I want him to come down and visit us and speak to us and manifest himself and miracles and all that, but I don't want him coming down in judgment. But you can bring them down here in judgment by some things you do. And Miriam and Aaron did that very thing. The Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and speak unto him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? We should consider this verse for our own lives. Were we not afraid to speak against the Lord's servant? Because every other brother and sister in the body of Christ is his servant. And he took it personal and very serious. All they were doing was saying, who did he marry? All they did was talk about who the woman was that he married. And he took it personal. And he came down and put a stop to it. Who are you to speak against my servant? Who are we to speak against anybody in the body of Christ? It's his servant. And God is able to make them stand or fall, right? Not us. So go over here then to verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. I do not want to inspire anger in the Lord. Do you? Woo. How we treat his body can incite that. Do you want God to come down in anger? No, I want him to show up because he's pleased. Because we've created an atmosphere of worship and, you know, been glorifying him. I want him to come in a cloud because of that. But don't come in a cloud of judgment, right? And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin against us, wherein we have done foolishly, and where we have sinned." How did the rebellion stop? Judgment. Listen, are people in rebellion? Oh yeah, they're in rebellion. But it's not your job to stop it. It's not your job to fix it. It's not your job to rearrange someone's life. The Lord will do it. And it said over here, I think this is so interesting. Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech you." So the very one who just a few minutes before Aaron is talking against, and, you know, he and Miriam are conspiring against Moses, and all of a sudden he's asking Moses to help him, right? And that can happen sometimes, you know, that sometimes people speak against you, but if you act right, in the end, you may be the very one to help them. The very one to help them. If you'll keep your heart clean, if you'll pray for them, listen, intercession is that judgment is not brought. Gossip is that we want judgment. That's not the heart of God. When we pray and intercede for someone, it's to hold back judgment. And that's what God wants. One day I heard in my heart, he said, "Where are the intercessors?" Well, I don't know. How am I supposed to know where the intercessors are? I don't know where they're at. And he asked me that because he wanted me to do something about it. Not just me. He wanted me to help, you know, get people going in prayer, bring them together to pray, and let's grow in the things of prayer together. Why? He needs more intercessors. Where is that verse in Isaiah? He wondered that there was no intercessor. Friend Vanessa, you know this verse. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Someone, could you look that up or find it on your phone? Because we want to see that in the Word. He wondered that there was no intercessor. That's the wording of it in the King James, if someone can find that. And I heard in my heart, where are the intercessors? Well, I don't know. Well, he's wanting more. Why? Because there's some people going off doing their own things, right? Well, we won't go any further until we get that verse. Do you have it, Reverend Crystal? Yes. Isaiah. Yes, that's exactly it, Brother Stephen. Isaiah 59:16. That's exactly it. Yes. Thank you. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Yes. So he wants us interceding. Why? Why does he want us interceding? Because he doesn't want judgment. People want judgment upon other people, but he doesn't. He wants mercy, and he wants them to have a long life and a happy life and a fulfilled life and a joyful life. That's why he gave intercession, and why he wants intercessors to withhold the judgment. So we see people who maybe are going off and doing their own thing. Our job isn't to talk about it and to gossip and to have private conversations like Aaron and Miriam. Did you see what they did? Did you see so-and-so left the church? Oh, look, you know, talk about the whole situation. No. He doesn't want us to talk about it except with him. And he wants us to pray and intercede for them. And go back over here, if you will, then, to Numbers chapter 12. In verse 11, Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech you, lay not this sin against us where we've done foolishly and where we have sinned. Let not her be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." And look at verse 13. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech you." The very person they talked about and against, he ended up being their help. And if you'll handle it right, you could end up being someone's help. If you'll keep your heart clean, and if you'll stay out of it. Stay out of trying to fix it. Stay out of trying to work it around how you think it should be. His ways and his thoughts are so far higher above our ways and our thoughts. We couldn't even begin to imagine how it needs to work out and what he wants to do. So that's why we pray, because then we don't have to know. We just leave that with him. And so the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? So let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp, and the people journeyed not until she was brought up in again. So in the end, Moses interceded for her, and she was brought back in and recovered of that leprosy. It's very serious how we talk about people. Go over here to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Have you ever done it? Yes, we've all done it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. When you're tempted, we'll all be tempted to share our opinions about a person's life, the direction they're taking, the decisions they've made. It might be how they handle the marriage, how they handled something in the church, how they handled their finances. When we're tempted to talk about that, don't, right? Just leave it with God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, in his lips that they speak no guile." So, while you think what you're talking about is about the other person's life, when you're doing that, it's really about you. It's really affecting your own life. Because your words are affecting whether or not you love your life and if you have joy in your life. And so I highly encourage you, whatever's going on with people around you, if they're not acting right, they're doing something they shouldn't, leave it with God. And if you want to talk about it with him and actually help their life. Matthew chapter 12. Now, have you ever done it? Oh, yes. We've all done it. But the important thing is, if you have done it, get it right with God. And get it right with people. You know, one time there were some things going on at my kid's school, and so I was talking with somebody about it, and I wasn't meaning for it to be gossip, but in the conversation, you know, that person, it wasn't a blessing to that person, what I said concerning the school. And so they mentioned it and brought it up, and my husband said, you know, "Katie, that wasn't right, you know, how you said that or how you worded it." And I went to that person, and I went to the principal at the school, and I repented before them both and asked them to forgive me, and they both easily and quickly and freely forgave me, and it's never been a problem since. Because we've all missed it. But the important thing is, when you've missed it, ask forgiveness, get it right. Not just with God, but with people, you know? So Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 37. Now this is Jesus speaking. 34 through 37. It says this, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the reason people gossip is because that's what's in their heart. They have filled up so much on other people's conversations. They've filled up so much on the scenario that's going on and the situation that's happening, and they've talked about it and rehearsed it and thought about it so much, it's in their heart. And now that's why it's coming out of their mouth. Because it cannot happen any other way except that what's in your heart comes out your mouth. So if you find yourself struggling in this area of gossip and complaining and talking about people's scenarios and situations, what you need to do is change what's in your heart. And how do you do that? Fill up on something else. What do we fill up on? What he said in his word. Reverend Joel Siegel, he's a wonderful minister of God, and he has the best illustration I've heard to date concerning this portion of scripture, concerning verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And he talks about when you feed a baby. So, you know, I have two boys, I raised two babies, and you know, you sit them each in a high chair, and you know, you have the little jars of baby food, and you take that little spoon and you put it in their mouth, and they take forever to chew it around and, you know, swallow it for a while. And then 5 minutes later, they're ready for another bite, you know, and you give them that and they swallow it down. And you give them one of those little tiny spoonfuls at a time. And then all of a sudden you go to give them a spoonful, and what happens? It doesn't go down, comes right back out, right? And they're just taking their tongue and spitting that food, and it's all over their mouth and, you know, comes down their chin. And you try to give them another spoonful, and what happens? You put it in their mouth, but it comes all right back out. Why? Because now they're full. So what they're full of is coming right back out. They're full. And that's how it is. People are talking gossip and about people's situations and circumstances because they're just full of it. They've been talking with other people about it, thinking about it, meditating on it, you know, gossiping about it. And so the more they do that, the fuller they get on it. But if you just get full of the word, that's what will come out, right? And so that's what we want to come out. And also it says this, for by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. You know, you can condemn your own faith by the gossip that you speak. It causes your faith not to work. So then people suffer in their body, suffer in their mental health, suffer in their finances, suffer in their marriage, time after time after time, because they have this problem of wanting to fix everybody. It's not your job to fix everybody. It's his job to fix everybody. So go over here, if you will. How about Philippians chapter 2, verse 14? Philippians 2, verse 14. Aren't you thankful that God is telling us these things to help us so our faith will work? And, you know, also this, when we gossip and complain, it affects our peace. Hold your place here in Philippians 2:14 and go to Psalm 77:3. If you could bring up Psalm 77:3. It says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now, where do you believe from? You know, when you're standing on a promise and you need something from God, you believe from your spirit. But your complaining can overcome and overwhelm your believing. If we're gossiping and complaining and in other people's business, and what the New Testament calls busy body, when you're a busy body, it affects your spirit and overwhelms your ability to believe. And so we want to be cautious about that. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And it says this, do all things without murmuring and disputing. The New Living Translation says it this way, do everything without complaining and arguing. Now, I have two teenage boys, and, you know, just generally speaking, kids like to complain, right? But teenagers, they take it to a whole new level of complaining. And you have to train them that, no, you're doing this without complaining. Because it's like they want to add, you know, in the church world, we're supposed to add prayer to everything we do. But teenagers like to add complaining to everything they do, you know. It's a chore, you know, they complain about it. If they have to get up too early, they complain about it. If you don't let them to do something, they want to complain about it. Complaining can just be a bad habit. But Galatians 5:22 says, we have the fruits of the Spirit on the inside. We have self-control. You don't have to complain if you don't want to. You can control yourself. And it's not you on your own. Do you know Galatians 5:22 is a deposit, a supernatural deposit from God? So your supply of self-control is supernatural, and it can help you to not do that. But you have to decide it, right? And remember this, that, you know, just like when you're developing a natural habit, it takes practice in doing it over and over and over again. And you may not do it perfect every time. But I can guarantee you sometime this week, information is going to come across your life about somebody else's situation, somebody else's scenario, how someone else is acting, how they're handling their finances, what's going on in their marriage. And you're going to have a choice to exercise self-control or to give in to the complaining and gossiping. And if you'll get it right the first time, you'll gain a little bit momentum. Then you get it right the next time, you gain a little bit more. Have you ever tried to lose weight? You don't wake up and, like, after you worked out twice, all the weight is gone, right? Or if there are people like that, you're like, I just don't even like you because I have to work so hard. But it takes doing it over and over and over and over and over. And then a little while down the road, you see the fruit of it. And that's how this is as well. All right, let's see some New Testament examples. How about Jesus himself? Whew, it's going to get deep, y'all. Luke 23:34. If you weren't convicted before now, here's your chance, right? Don't worry. We won't let you leave without being convicted. The Holy Ghost will help you. It's okay. Pastor Nancy Dufresne had this saying, and it was called, the stuck pig squeals the loudest. You know what that means? If you just sit real quiet and still and just smile and look happy, nobody knows it's you, right? But if you're the one going out the door mad about the message, everybody knows you're the one with the problem. So if you just smile and act happy, nobody knows. It's not me. Y'all are just perfect. Luke 23:34. Listen to what Jesus said, okay? Now, this is him at his crucifixion. Could anybody in the whole world, in the history of time, ever have been mistreated like he was? Not one. No one. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was lied about, mistreated, physically beat up. I mean, dragged around. He was so mistreated, and he's praying for them at the moment when he is mistreated the most. What does he want for them? Mercy. Mercy. When someone so near and dear to you mistreats you, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That is the heart of Jesus. Those were his very words. That's what our heart ought to be. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, right? Because there's a devil on this earth to tempt people to do and say wrong things against you. And so understand, they themselves are not enjoying that, right? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Go over to Isaiah 53:7, again concerning Jesus. Isaiah 53:7. Can I have this in the Amplified Classic? Isaiah 53:7 in the Amplified Classic. Are you starting to get an idea of how Jesus sees things, how he wants us to act? Isaiah 53:7 in the Amplified says this, Jesus was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and opened not his mouth, like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers were dumb, he opened not his mouth. When people speak evil against you, you don't have to defend yourself. It's the Lord who vindicates us, right? You don't have to try and make them think well of you and get them to see how you're right, or, you know, how you're righteous, or how, you know, you weren't in the wrong. You don't have to do that. Jesus didn't do that. The Bible said that he opened not his mouth. Now go over to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 12. Because isn't your natural inclination to defend yourself, right? That I'm not all the terrible things you said, that what you said was a lie. It's not true, the accusation you're bringing against me. You want to defend yourself. But you don't have to, because just like the Lord came down and defended Moses and judged what was happening, the Lord will vindicate you. He will judge the things against you. You don't have to. You don't have to say a thing. Matthew 12 or Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 12. I'm in the wrong chapter. 27, 12. And when he was accused, Jesus, of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. These people at the top of the food chain, who seemingly know more than everybody else, they're the ones in the right, they have the most wisdom. He was accused by the chief priests and the elders, and he answered nothing. Then Pilate said unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against you? You know, here Jesus is not trying to defend himself, and he goes, Jesus, don't you see what's happening against you? Don't you hear what they're saying? Don't you want to answer something? Don't you want to witness? And go over here to verse 13. Verse 14. He answered him to never a word. He didn't say anything to defend himself. God will defend you. He will show you to be in the right if someone is wrongly accusing you. You don't have to try and make yourself a good reputation. He will make you look good. Your job is to not enter the fight, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to draw you into the discord, the upset, getting worked up about it, being involved in the fight, trying to defend yourself. Then they say something back about what you said to defend yourself. Then you have no choice, because now you're more worked up to try and say something back to counter what they said. It's a trap. It's a trap to try and get you involved in the gossip, get you involved in the complaining, get you involved in the strife. Remember what the Bible said? It's in, you know, when the Bible quoted it, it was in regards to marriage, but this is in all relationships. Where there is strife, there is every evil work. So the hook is trying to get you to defend yourself, but you don't have to. He's going to defend you. And like he showed up with Moses and Miriam and Aaron, he will set it straight. Okay, so now, how do we stop or end the gossiping? Go over here to, first let me share this with you. We already talked about this. Fill up on something else. Remember, we're going to put the word in. But here's something particular you should meditate in. I recommend daily. And we've talked about it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 in the Amplified Classic. Okay? I highly recommend meditating in that every day. The second is this: not only fill up on the word, fill up on the Holy Ghost by praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. We're going to do it, right? We're going to overlook these things, because that's what he did. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. This will help to keep you strong, not only to not answer that and to enter the strife, but to keep your heart clean, so that you have the strength to pray for them and to not gossip about them. So fill up on the Holy Ghost. Also Jude verses 20 to 21. Jude verses 20 to 21. It says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 21, we don't often look at after that, but go to verse 21, just in the King James, please. Well, actually, you can go to the Amplified. That's fine. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. How do you do that? By praying in the Holy Ghost. You're having a hard time walking over in love, overlooking these things people do to you? Find some strength. It's called praying in the Holy Ghost. And then this, take every thought captive. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take every thought captive, because you're going to be tempted to get involved in the strife. You're going to be tempted to get involved with the rumor and the gossip and the complaining. But God doesn't want that for us. That's damaging to the body. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because, you know, the enemy will bring you thoughts against people and how to work against them or what they need to fix. That's not our job, right? So take thought captive those thoughts. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. We thank you for the light we've been given tonight concerning gossiping and complaining. That, Father, you want us to have a clean heart so our faith can work. You want us to have a blessed life, so you encourage us to avoid the strife. Father, we thank you and praise you that we will take the place in prayer as intercessors instead of the place of the head and be the judgment. Father, we leave that with you. And Father, I just thank you. You are a good judge. You are a righteous judge, a holy Father full of mercy. And Father, I thank you and praise you. I worship you. I worship you. That when everybody else is putting somebody down, we help pick them up. That's what you do. When everybody else has left somebody and won't help them, we will, because that's what you do. That is the ministry of Jesus. And thank God for it, because without it, we wouldn't have eternal life. There was nothing loving about us when we gave our hearts to Jesus. So we take that same attitude toward other people who are walking outside of your righteousness and your blessing. Father, I thank you tonight for that mighty gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And Father, I just thank you and praise you that you're here to minister to hearts tonight. Is there anyone in this building that you say, I'm not sure if I were to depart this earth where I would go, that I would spend eternity with Jesus? If you're not sure, I just ask you to raise your hand and we'll all pray together. If you're not sure where you would go if you leave this earth tonight, if you're not sure you'd be in heaven, but you want to be sure, I just ask you to raise your hand and we'll all pray together. Is there anybody here? I don't see any hands. And the next invitation I want to offer is for anyone who's walked away from God. Is there anyone here that you can say, I've lost fellowship with him? I've let my relationship with God grow cold, and I want to rededicate my heart and my life tonight. I want to get things right with him. Is there anyone here that would like to rededicate their life? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? Okay, let's all pray together. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus, not only for salvation, but for mercy when we miss it as a believer. Father God, we come to you tonight and confess that we've missed it or haven't lived close with you like we should. We repent, Father God, and we thank you now we're in right fellowship with you. We love you and praise you, Father. We worship and honor you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. This truth does set us free if we'll do it. This truth is a help to our lives if we'll do it. Father, we thank you for it. Why don't you stand with me to your feet? Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Oh God, we worship you. Thank you for your mercy. Oh God, we worship you. Thank you for your great, 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 great mercy. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.